Well, all the world's a stage for William Shakespeare this year. Fans of the Bard mark the 400th anniversary of his death on this Saturday. It's worth remembering just how prolific Shakespeare was and how influential, of course, he still is. He wrote 38 plays, 154 sonnets, and has been translated into over 80 languages. But did the great Bard fail women? Many have asked why there isn't a female character in Shakespeare that has the stature of King Lear. It might just be there is one there. It's been there under our noses all this time.
She's very beautiful and young. And if you don't like her, you only need to see her on formal occasions and when the time comes to make little princes and princesses. And if you'd rather lie with noble virgins, so be it. You are my darling boy and the world will be exactly as you want it to be.
Cersei Lannister from the Game of Thrones, a character inspired by Margaret of Anjou, who features in several of Shakespeare's plays. And now she's been elevated as the central character in a new play by the Bard. Well, kind of. Elizabeth Schaefer is Professor of Drama and Theatre Studies at the University of London's Royal Holloway. She's teamed up with Philippa Kelly from the California Shakespeare Theatre and the Napa Shakespeare Festival to create the new Shakespearean work, Margaret of Anjou. Elizabeth Schaefer, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
First off, Elizabeth, am I saying that name correctly?
Yeah,
I am.
Right.
So Margaret of Anjou, one critic of your play described her as the shrew who refuses to be tamed. Tell us about Margaret, because a lot of us know Shakespeare, but I, for one, didn't know Margaret of Anjou.
No, well, Margaret appears in four plays by Shakespeare. Most people know her from Richard III, and by the time it's Richard III, she's a crone and she's cursing and she's angry and she's all in one mode. But she actually started off in Henry VI Part I as a sort of feisty teenager with the whole kind of world before her. And through the four plays, she gets married, she becomes queen, she has a son, she sees her son murdered in front of her. She behaves abominably. She becomes completely monstrous. But she's also an astonishingly exciting woman. When things are getting rough, her husband, Henry VI, falls to pieces and she just takes over and she starts leading his army. She's an inspiring and amazing character. She has some fantastic speeches. But normally she's encountered sort of in between an awful lot of battles. And so Philippa and I decided to extract all of the scenes in which Margaret appears and create a play that's centred around her.
I want to hear more about that because I think it's a fantastic idea. But it's important to say that Margaret was real.
Oh, absolutely. And
she really had all these characteristics?
Not all of them. I mean, for example, she actually died quite a few years before Richard III kicks off.
Right.
But I think that's quite interesting because Shakespeare was so keen on Margaret of Anjou that he kept her alive. He went against history to keep her alive so that she's there in Richard III to rant and rail. And she's the only character in Richard III who stands up to him right the way through. But yes, there's a historical character and she was a very, very remarkable woman.
And it is interesting that Shakespeare kept her through four plays, four works like this. So tell us about your work, your inspiration for this. Was it simply the fact that there wasn't a Shakespearean play centred around a female character? Is that what drove you or just you're inspired by those speeches?
Yeah, that's partly what drove me. The other thing that I was very inspired by is, a lot of actresses of a certain age say, well, there are no parts for us.
Uh-huh.
And famously last year, Glenda Jackson returned to acting and she made a statement on the lines of, you know, there's no Hamlet for women, there's no King Lear for women. Margaret Anjou has been called a King Lear for women, there is something in that in the sense that it's an Everest of a part. It's an extraordinary role to play. And very famously in the early 60s, in 1964, Peggy Ashcroft sort of discovered the role and people got very, very excited about it. But no one, as far as I can see, has actually quite done what we've done before, which is anthologized the scenes that Margaret appears in and actually focused on her story. Normally her story does get a little bit, you know, buried amongst the battles. We've got the whole of the Wars of the Roses going on. There's an awful lot of battling. but also, I think what's interesting is if you think of the major characters in Shakespeare that are female, say, for example, Cleopatra. Mm-hmm. Cleopatra is a wonderful role, and people talk about her infinite variety. But she doesn't do half the kind of stuff that Margaret does. Margaret, one minute, as I say, she's an ingenue, she's looking to get married, she's flirting, the next minute she's committing adultery, and then she's off celebrating over the death of a small child and waving a handkerchief doused in his blood in front of his father's face. You know, she does such a range of extraordinary things.
Why aren't we mentioning Lady Macbeth? I mean, Lady Macbeth lives on, and she's quoted, you know, regularly in political, current political references, of course, never in a positive light, though, I must say.
No. Well, I mean, the sad thing about Lady Macbeth is it's not actually that huge a role. I mean, it's an interesting role.
And some great lines.
She has great lines, and she has great theatrical impact. But it's not actually a humongous part, and that's what's exciting about this play, I think, is that Margaret never shuts up. And as I say, she's, you know, you mentioned the thing about the shrew that's never tamed. Many of Shakespeare's early shrews are tamed, but Margaret is never, ever tamed. She keeps talking, and she keeps doing. Unfortunately, Lady Macbeth does shut up. You know, she can't handle the monstrosity. And what's interesting is there's a lot of connections between Richard III and Macbeth. And I think in some ways, one of the scenes where Margaret actually kind of leads a tutorial in cursing, and she's got two other women there and she's teaching them to curse
better. She sounds great, I have to
say. You think, well, this is the three witches on the way almost from Macbeth. So I think, you know, there's some connections with Lady Macbeth. But Margaret keeps rolling far more than Lady Macbeth manages to.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 17 to 7. Our guest is Liz Schaefer from Royal Holloway. Liz Schaefer from the University of London's Royal Holloway. You've written this play. It's been workshopped a few times, had a number of readings. Is it going to get produced? And if so, who do you see as Margaret? Because I know who was brought to my mind when I was reading about her.
Right, well, I just want to say it's written by Shakespeare. I've edited it.
Okay,
and
sure.
And sort of dramaturged it. So all of the words are written by Shakespeare, so that's one reason we're quite confident that, you know, there's some good writing in there.
Yeah. But yes,
it's been in workshopped. A company who are doing Merry Wives at the moment in Melbourne at 45 Downstairs, they workshopped it in Perth in February. And this weekend in Ballarat, Federation University students are going to do a reading. And so we're getting a lot of feedback from every reading that we run. But I might as well be honest, I think this part is made for Kate Blanchett.
She's Elizabeth,
I'd
isn't she?
I'd love her to play it. Sorry?
She's Elizabeth, isn't she?
Well, she is Elizabeth, but, you know, she's got that she can do that determination, but she can also do... Margaret is very flirtatious and, so I think Kate Blanchett...
Why not aim high? I must say I was picturing Pamela Rabe. I thought she'd be perfect.
Oh, Pamela Rabe would be brilliant. And Pamela Rabe, I have seen Pamela Rabe do so many Shakespeare roles, and I would love her to do Margaret of Anjou. Do you think I should send her the script?
I think you should. Just before we go, you're not the only one looking to elevate women within Shakespeare and within the world of Shakespeare. In October, audiences of the Old Vic in London will get a chance to see a woman playing Lear, and not just any woman, Glenda Jackson playing Lear.
Glenda Jackson
would be worth seeing.
That will be worth seeing, and also I think it's worth noting that she's going to be directed by Deborah Warner. So that is going to be the most amazing event, and I think the major challenge will be working out how on earth to get a ticket, because, you know, people will be killing for tickets.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Liz, congratulations, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Performance historian Liz Schaefer from the Royal Holloway in London. And this weekend there'll be a rehearsed reading of Margaret of Anjou at the Ballarat Art Gallery, if you're in the area, directed by Kim Durbin and performed by Federation University students. And here on RN, we're celebrating Shakespeare's 400th anniversary across a lot of programs over the coming days. Watch out, of course, for our Bardathon from 2 p.m. on Saturday on Books and Arts with Sarah Konoski. It's going to include the winning monologues. I'm sure many of you have taken part in this. The winning monologues in the Shakespeare Greatest Hits list. Listener votes are performed by actors from Bell Shakespeare, so that's going to be fantastic on Saturday afternoon.